I'd like to turn to Acts chapter 16, and we'll read a few verses here. I know this is all familiar to all of you. Acts chapter 16, and let's begin reading with verse 16. This is the ministry of the Apostle Paul and his co-worker Silas and their traveling recorder, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Now here the Apostle Paul had been visited by the Lord in a vision by night, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And he went over there, and here they have come to Philippi. And while he is there, here he encounters someone who is being used not only by the devil, but by entrepreneurs who are selling her, shall we say, and these abilities that she has to make a profit. They're profiteering off of her. Well, of course, she's going around now and she's saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Well, that was true. And so we might think, well, why would the Apostle Paul, with such terrific advertising, why he would want to silence that? He surely would want it to just abound it and gone further and further, that more people would realize this. But no, that was not it. Well, of course, the thought here is it was coming from the wrong source. This was not coming from the camp of God and His workers, but rather from the forces of evil. And the apostle recognized that, and of course he cast or he exercised that spirit out of this girl. Well, of course it infuriated the people who were making a living. They realized that their source of income here with this person was cut off, and so they stirred the people up, and we'll not continue reading, but they raised such a commotion that they were arrested and they were put in jail. And that brings us to the familiar story of Paul and Silas in prison there in Philippi. Now, let's look a little closer at verse 16. They said, "This damsel was possessed with a spirit of divination." Now, I'd like to give you several definitions tonight. The spirit of divination, and I know that these definitions vary according to what dictionary you look at. There's going to be some variation, but when you look at all of them, you can get a pretty good picture of what it's all about. The spirit of divination is one who seeks to foresee or foretell future events, or discover hidden knowledge, usually by the interpretation of omens or by the aid of supernatural powers. Of course, this was of the evil one, this spirit of divination. And then it said they masters got gain by soothsaying. Well, soothsaying is basically the act of foretelling events. Being able to foretell the future. Now, we can't do that. God has not given us that ability. Above and beyond the evidence that lies before us, that we can, sort of from the knowledge that we have, make a forecast. I had a pretty good idea it was going to rain this evening because I saw it moving our way. I had been watching it since about 4 o'clock or so, and it was moving this direction slowly. It kept coming, and so I pretty well thought that we're going to get some rain. I was not absolutely sure of that because it could have gone around. It could have changed, but There is that sense of perception that we have that generally, according to our acquired knowledge and the natural laws, we're able to perceive what very likely is going to happen. But this is above and beyond that. This is an ability to go through that veil that separates the known from the unknown, and to, by the power of the evil one, to bring this to light and to allow people to be able to do that. Well, here Paul was confronted with this, and so he handled the situation and cast this spirit out. You know, this was sort of like the situation if you would have a beer company offering to advertise our camp meeting. You know, we wouldn't mind some free advertising, but oh, we don't want it from that source. And so this is sort of what was going on there. Paul was getting some advertising. It was accurate. There may have been some other things said that Luke did not record, but still, that was not the source that it was to come from, and therefore, Paul, by the power of the Spirit of God, brought an end to it and gave freedom to this girl. Now let's look, with the Lord's help, at some history that we have in the Scriptures. I know it's very sketchy, and perhaps we'll overlook some, but surely these would be enough to help us to see the picture clearly. The first recorded incident that we have in the Scriptures is in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, where Moses and his co-worker, Aaron, were commissioned of God to lead Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land. The time had come when everything was just right, that God was ready to take them out of slavery, out of Egypt, and take them to the homeland that He had promised them. And so as they go in and present themselves before Pharaoh, they are going to perform some miracles. And they do. The first one there, Exodus 7, about verse 9, he was to take his rod, cast it down, it become a serpent. Well, when he went in before Pharaoh, he did that. Pharaoh called his wise men, look at verse 11, and the sorcerers, and it says, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now notice these key words here, sorcerers, magicians, and enchantments. Now, magicians are workers of occult, employing the forces of the unseen world to control nature, events, or people. They were able to duplicate what God had given Moses and Aaron the ability to do, but only up to a certain point. There was that point, I think it was after maybe the third miracle, the third sign, that the magicians were not able to duplicate it. And there's a great lesson in that in itself, and it's not our primary one, but I surely do not want to overlook it in passing, that the power of God is greater than the forces of evil. God is able to do things that the devil cannot duplicate. God is able to do things the devil cannot undo. And so we want to keep that in mind as we go on. But these people were working these things up to a certain point. They were able to do it. It was not of the power of God. And so there's only one other source. Yes. Now, let me say here about the magicians. This is what is called the black magic. This is not the little simple hand trick that you might get off of the back of a cornflakes box where you can hold something in your hand, it looks different, and then you flip it over and it looks totally different. We're not talking about that kind of thing. There are people who are very, very skilled with the sleight of hand and things that I cannot explain. But we're talking about above and beyond that. Simply something that the hand is faster than the eye, but we're talking about a power the power of the underworld, which is orchestrated by none other than the great maestro, Satan himself. That is the magic. Now, the term enchantment, to influence by charms, to bewitch, and of course, some of these terms overlap, as we've already mentioned. They're sort of integrated. Some of them, there's not really a fine line of difference between them. But now we see that they were able to do these things. Moses and Aaron got their power from God. The magicians of Egypt got theirs from the evil one. But we see that this was going on. One of the earlier records that we have of some of this type of thing being used, but it was going on down there in Egypt here this particular time when God was about ready to bring Israel out and take them to the promised land. Now, when Israel came out, God led them to Mount Sinai and he gave them his law, commonly called the law of Moses. And I want to look at several passages here and show you the progressive revelation of God as to the severity of this sort of thing and being involved in it. First of all, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26, he says, "You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment, nor observe times." Now you're going to notice a little difference in the wording of the different translations, especially if you use them for reference. And the word there, enchantment, there's another word that's used, which is sorcery. Essentially the same thing. And then observe times, that has to do with astrology. That's not simply a person keeping time, keeping a record or a diary or like looking at a calendar and keeping track of how many days, months, and years has passed. He's not talking about that. He's talking about astrology. People who study the heavenly bodies and they try to make predictions on how these things are lined up and by use of certain instruments, and we'll mention some little later, that they make forecasts of things to come. But remember now, these are things that the Lord has not given us. Amen. And we have to leave that alone with Him. But this is what they were doing. And so the Lord says, first of all, you shall not use enchantment nor observe times. He's saying, don't have anything to do with it. Now, he doesn't stop there. He goes a little further, and we'll go on to a much later point in history, but it will show this that we're talking about. In Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 9, he said, "Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets." Now, he's talking about those false prophets here. He's not talking about the prophets of God. This was at a time when Israel was very corrupted, and they had many false prophets, and they were listening to them, and they were being deceived and misled into making decisions that were much to their hurt as well as to the shame of their God. So he says, "Nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers." He says, do not listen to them. Don't give them any attention. Just turn away from them. Stay away from them, but don't have anything to do with them. First of all, he said, now, don't you do these things. Now we see him saying, don't have anything to do with them. Just ignore them. Stay away from them. Amen. Now, to Deuteronomy chapter 18, we go a step further. Deuteronomy chapter 18, looking at verse 10, beginning with verse 10. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now he's saying, don't even let there be found one among your people. You see? You notice what he was saying. He says, don't you use it. Don't consult them. And now he's saying, don't even allow them to be in your company, in the camp of Israel. But it doesn't stop there. We'll go this time to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27. This gets pretty severe. A man also, or a woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. In other words, their blood will be on their own selves, not on the one who stoned them. See, first he said, don't do it. Then he said, don't listen to them. Then he said, don't allow them in your land and among your people. And then he says, you execute them. And this same thing was also found in Exodus chapter 22, verse 18, where he says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Folks, this is what God thinks about the occult. This is what he thinks about. He has expressed in unclear terms. He has made it very clear that God does not want his people to be dabbling in this sort of thing. Now, as we go on down, we mentioned, of course, that this was practiced in Egypt. But then we also find that it was also practiced in Palestine before Israel was able to inhabit the land. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and look at verse 14, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. In other words, this was one of the evils, and there were several others that were being practiced in that particular land, and we can see how God was just in giving this land to Israel and just wiping the people out that were in there. God had his reasons. Now, we don't always have to understand what they are, because we, like Abraham, believe that the judge of all the earth will do right. Amen. But this is a little peephole into God's purpose here. That one of the reasons that he could have given them some other land, but one of the reasons that he cleared that land for them, ethnically maybe we could say, was because of this particular infraction, as well as others. There were others, but this was one of them, that he said that he drove them out. Now we find, and we'll not turn to it, but in Nahum chapter 3, we find that this was going on in Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the empire of the Assyrians at that particular time. And so you can see it was pretty widespread. Such a departure from the original revelation of God to his people, and how that all of these perversions, deviations, and moving away from the one true God, and it shows how far down in the depths that man has gone and will go today who practice these sort of things. So we have to be careful, because one step away from the will of God, it's awfully slippery.
Yes, amen.
And it goes downhill. It does not stay on that same level. Now, several of the kings of Israel in their history were kings of reform, and we find that they drove these people out. Even King Saul was one of those. But he didn't drive them far enough, because later he went and consulted one of them himself to try to find. After he had cut himself off completely from God, then he was seeking for counsel, wanting some direction, wanting to know the future. What's going to happen? What decision should I make? What should I not do? But now that he's cut himself off from God, he's seeking the other source of information. And you know what? That is the epitome of the entire spectrum of that practice.
Yes,
is that when a person cannot get direction and vision and help from God and communicate with Him, that's when he goes to the other source. And we need to keep that clearly in mind. Now in Jesus' day, there's not a lot said, and so we're trying to piece this together. But in Jesus' day, he cast out demons out of many, many people. Of course, this was, let me say this, that there were different degrees of demonic possession. We maybe look at that in a minute. But anyway, at least there was that extreme measure of people who were just totally controlled by the evil spirits. They could not help themselves. They could not free themselves from that awful slavery. The apostles dealt with it. Even when Jesus was still on earth, they went out and they cast out demons. And then after Jesus ascended to heaven, the apostles went forth proclaiming the gospel. And this is one of the things that they did, was to cast out evil spirits. And that brings us to the story there in the book of Acts, where Paul is casting out this spirit of in this particular girl who was possessed. And throughout history, and even down today, we've heard sketches. I do not have any specific case in mind or sources, but I have read that in the early years of our history of our country, before it became the United States of America, some of this was very common. But as our nation became organized and was based on the principles of God and particularly of the Mosaic Law, we find that they ran many of these folks out. Even in the history of our country, we find that there were witches who were burned. And I know that seems cruel, but God had He had specified this to be done under the law of Moses. And so we can see how that for a number of years in our history of our country, how that this was pretty much not that common. But folks, now it is creeping back in.
That's true.
Just nearly everywhere. And we need to be alert. We need to be warned of this. And I think it's very obvious to most anyone who loves the Lord and loves the truth to spot these things and say, no, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't understand what it is. But hey, I don't need it. It's kind of like some of these salespeople trying to call. We're going to be out in your area tomorrow, and we'd like to make an estimate of putting siding on your house or something. I say, I don't have anything to put siding on, so thank you for your time. Just cut it off. You don't, whatever it is, I don't need that. And no use to even continue the conversation.
Right.
Now, don't be rude to people, of course. But we certainly must be alert, and we must be firm with these things and not be taken because we're dealing with something more powerful than just a salesman who's trying to make a living.
Amen.
Oh, there are so many in our country today who are involved to some extent in these things.
Right.
Everywhere you go, I remember years ago, and I was so naive, grew up in a little sheltered part of the state, southwest Louisiana, in a godly home, and I didn't know a whole lot about these things except what I read in the scriptures. And I used to see along Airline Highway the sign of a palm. It said, Palm Reader, Madam So-and-so. Well, I never was tempted to stop, but I know that there are many people who are. And this is one of the things that we see, because you call it sorcery, witchcraft, or whatever. They want to read your palm and claim that they can tell you what may happen, and it may be they can. Now, if they're just missing it or by a wild guess, that's one thing. There's no power behind that. But if they are receiving instructions from the evil one, then that's greatly to be feared.
Amen.
Because people do make predictions. I heard many years ago, a friend of my sister's went to a street fair, and palm reader there had told her that in 2 days she'd fall off the porch and break her hand, her arm, or whatever. And 2 days exactly she did just that. Well, that's not from God. The Lord wants us to leave those kind of things alone. We have those who claim to tell fortunes. You can see them just, I guess, about anywhere. Oh, I hear that the internet is rampant with this sort of thing. Surely it must be. I don't know. I've never searched. But there are so many of these things in magazines, advertisement of people. You call a particular number, and they'll be able to tell you about if you need a job or how to get well or just whatever. Of course, they want your money. But nevertheless, they are doing this. They're in that business. And we don't want to go there.
Amen.
I understand that in the library system, I believe it was a high school in St. Tammany Parish, there was some occult books or one in particular. Quite a controversy over it because concerned parents did not want their children to have access to this stuff because they recognized the power of it. And, of course, there were those who set out to try to allow it to be left on the shelves. So it's becoming more and more common. You go into the major bookstores and near the religious section, you'll have a section that says occult. I've never picked up any of the books, but it looks like there's quite a number of them, and that shelf space is probably growing if it's like many other things. More and more of it. We don't need that. We want to stay away from that. Yes, people of national recognition who claim to foretell events such as the outcome of presidential elections and who's going to do this and that sort of thing or some catastrophe. Well, we hear that all the time. And of course, if it comes to our ears, we just simply can store it away and forget it. But we still don't have to go to these people to consult to find some kind of direction and so forth. A lot of the magazines have what's called a horoscope. Now, I know that could be very innocent, perhaps even fun, saying, well, you're going to have a good time today. Well, that's probably true 90% of the time anyway. See, some of it is just so vague, and they play on people's, I guess you might say, ignorance of what's going on, and they take their money, and, yeah, you have a good day, and you say, well, they were right. Or maybe you're going to meet some new friend today. Well, that's very likely anyway if you're out in the public. So you can see how this thing is perpetrated on the minds of the uninformed.
Amen.
And that's why we want to be informed.
Amen.
Heard the verse a couple of times recently, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Yes.
I think the more literal translation of that is, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. And of course, that will cause them to perish.
Yes.
It's the same. But we want to be informed. We want to leave this stuff alone and
Amen.
All of those kind of things. We don't need that. Let's look at a few more definitions here. Sorcery is generally the use of power gained from the assistance or control of evil spirits, especially for divining. We've already defined divining. Witchcraft. The use of sorcery or magic to communicate with evil spirits or the devil. Another term that we sometimes hear is a clairvoyant. This is one who has the power or faculty of discerning objects not perceivable to the senses or beyond the range of ordinary perception. Now, I realize that we all have different degrees of understanding and knowledge and perception, a lot of things. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about those who go beyond that human realm that God generally has divided and penetrate that, going beyond what God has granted and seeking to know and to understand beyond the range of ordinary perception. That's what we're discussing. Necromancy is the practice of consulting the spirits of the dead for the revealing of the future or influencing the course of events. Now, some of the tools of the trade that you commonly hear about, we've already mentioned, but the matter of horoscope. This, again, based on astrology, something that sort of depending on the time that you were born and the alignment of the planets and how they're allegedly supposed to affect your mind of what it may do to you or for you or this sort of thing. But I just kind of feel like I need something a little more solid to go on than that. And the Lord has provided it. He's given us everything that we need. This horoscope, particularly used in astrology, the study of celestial bodies and their supposed influence on persons' behavior, character, or events. Now, the use of tarot cards is something that's usually done by these fortune tellers. Some kind of special card. I don't know exactly what it is, but anyway, that you hear of things that are involved in it that we can recognize if we hear them and just simply leave them alone. We don't need them. Now, my counsel from the Lord is that very thing, is to just leave these things alone.
Amen.
We don't need them. The Lord has given us everything that we need, everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's going to see us through. We don't need anything from any other source. As I like to think many times, don't you think, that the manufacturer knows better than anyone else how to operate his equipment.
Yes.
And it's the way with the Lord. He's the one who has made us and the one who wants us to do well. And remember, the evil one is always trying to trick us up. He's always trying to trip us and to make us fall. He's never, in all of the history of mankind on the earth, he's never, never helped anyone to try to get to heaven.
Amen.
So we can just leave all of that stuff alone. And also we might look at it in the negative, that if God's displeasure was so strong against that sort of thing and having anything to do with it, then surely that in itself should warn us, just leave it all alone, not have anything to do with it.
Amen.
Folks, our enemy is so clever. He is so clever, and this is where the danger comes in exposing him, because he goes on the rampage, but it goes from the point of simply innocence to involvement.
Amen.
Just so gradual.
True.
Just so gradual. Here are basically the steps. I know they could be put in different words, but this pretty well clearly defines it. Demonic consultation invites spirits.
Yes.
If we are seeking them, they're going to accommodate us. They're not going to pass up any opportunity.
Amen.
I hate to say it, that the enemies of our Lord sometimes are more diligent than his friends. And Lord, help me.
Amen.
But they never pass up an opportunity to try to do their devilish work in any way that they can. And if we just sort of invite them, they're going to be there. Now, that does not mean that at the very first instance that they're going to come and we'll see things spectacular, that we'll hear door slamming and footprints, the sound of them, and things moving. And I've heard some of these things from people who have been involved in it. A man told me one time, this has been, I'm going to say 20, 25 years ago, right here in Tangipahoa Parish, when there was quite an upsurge of Satan worship. He said, "I got so scared I got out of there." I said, "Well, you better be glad you got out when you did, because you were progressing pretty far." He said at the place of worship, he wouldn't identify it. I said, please don't tell me. I don't want to even know. But he said that things did move. He said, you heard voices. So it can go pretty far.
Amen.
But you see, the first step is consultation invites them. The next step is fascination. After you've invited them, you get to thinking, hey, that's interesting. I believe I'll do that again. I believe I'll look into it some more. You see? Notice the danger of it. Fascination leads to familiarity. After a while, you get to sort of being familiar with it. You know the ins and outs, and you've learned. I guess it would be kind of like me trying to learn a computer. You work at it a while, and you put it up, and you come back, and you use what you've already learned. You keep trying. You go a little further, or really learning anything else. And so after a while, it gets to where you're kind of familiar with it. Familiarity can lead to cooperation, kind of working with them, you see. You notice how sneaky, how it moves along from one step to another. Each step, just a little step now. It's not a great big leap in the dark, but just sort of a shallow step. Cooperation will inevitably lead to influence. Influence will lead to control. And then I guess really the final step, control will lead to possession. Now, I know that there are perhaps other definitions of these steps, but it kind of helps us to see the steps of decline down into the very pit of the abyss by cooperating with the evil one, and we don't even want to take the first step. We want to stay clear of it. Stay completely. Because you see, somewhere on this ladder or stair step, there's a threshold or there is a line of no return. We do not know where it is. A person involved may not know where it is. If they turned around and got out of it, then thank God they didn't go too far. Because if they did, they would never be able to get out of it except by the power of God.
Amen.
Just like Paul exorcised that girl there of that demonic spirit. Like Jesus cast out demons and these other things. The apostles were able to do that. Only by the power of God, because they were shackled, they were imprisoned, they could not free themselves. I do not know why these people were demon-possessed in these days. Maybe they had started out with the very innocent and took those steps. I do not know that. But I'm simply saying, and this is what the Lord gave me, that this is how it can happen. And let's be very, very careful. You see, when we want to look into that realm that's forbidden, for one thing, it's trespassing. God, that's not our territory. You see, we're not to go there. He doesn't want us to have it. And for good reasons. If we, by faith, see Him as a loving Heavenly Father, He knows that's not good for us, so we shouldn't want to go there. And then if we would go into that area, then we're asking for knowledge and for power that is not rightfully ours. And don't you see a parallel with this and what happened in the Garden of Eden? You know, the Lord said, now, y'all don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The devil came along and said, oh, it's good. Look how pretty it is. It'll do you good. It'll make you know more than you know now. It's kind of like an advantage. But look what happened. And the same thing is true in this that we're talking about. If God has not given us that territory, let's not want to go into there. Let's respect God's power and authority and His wisdom in withholding that information from us, because it's for our good. And we can rest on that. I'm thinking of a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. You see, he's saying the secret things belong to God. That's His. Let's respect that. As I used the word earlier, trespassing, I'm getting over onto somebody else's property. I'm not supposed to go there. That's theirs. And so the Lord, what He does show us, He wants us to know, and He will show us what He wants us to know. But those things that are His, distinctively His, let's leave that to Him. Things about the future, things about what's going to happen. And really, in most cases, if we knew the future, we'd worry ourselves probably and not enjoy today. Galatians chapter 5, where the inspired apostle wrote concerning the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. In verse 20, he included witchcraft. He said that that was the works of the flesh. And perhaps we would do no injustice to the Scripture here to say that that's the works of the devil through our flesh. Because that's the territory in which he works, is through our flesh. And then on down he says, I told you in the time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you see, if that doesn't give us an eternal reward, then we surely don't want to have anything to do with it.
Amen.
Whether you call it witchcraft or sorcery or fortune telling or all of these other things that are so common, we read these things in the paper quite commonly now of hearing about them and what have you. But just remember that those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
On the other hand, we feel it only fair to say that those who have done this can be forgiven, or those who are doing this, God will forgive if they repent, as with any other sin, and their slate can be clean and come out from under the curse of eternal damnation of those who do dabble in these things and participate in them. Let's look at another verse or two, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Apostle Paul says there, I'll begin reading verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he admonishes, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, let's not touch that unclean thing. Let's just leave that alone. Because, you know, it's incongruent, as he's shown here, light and darkness and righteousness with evil. Those things are incongruent. And so those things of the evil one are just not fitting in our lives.
Amen.
And this can apply with anything else that's wrong. The same principle applies. You remember the story when Paul had first visited the people there at Corinth, when he first visited that town? Remember what happened? When their gospel had gone forth there in Acts chapter 19, people were saved. And what did they do? They burned their books of magic. They got rid of them. And that tells me we don't need them either.
Amen.
See, they were into that. And they realized that, hey, we don't need that. This conflicts with this gospel, this glorious news about Jesus and his saving power. And they got rid of them. Just took them out there and burned them. It cost them a lot of money. But they got rid of it because eternal treasures are worth more to them than that. So let's look at these things with this perspective. One more verse. Let's see. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. And when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter. Now notice the question. This logic is so beautiful. He said, should not a people seek unto their God?
Yes.
Now I don't want to just denounce evil and error, but I want to promote right to promote the things that represent God on the earth and say that let's turn to Him completely. If we need guidance, we can go to God and we can get it, and it will not be wrong.
Amen.
You know, these fortune tellers, they might tell you something and it may not happen. But you know, when God shows us something, it'll be for real. He's going to keep us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to guide us. Everything that we need, and if we'll call on Him early in the day to guide us through the day, we don't need somebody to read our palm and say, well, this is going to happen and that and the other. Remember what the Lord said through Isaiah the prophet, shouldn't a people seek unto their God? Well, the question is obviously yes, that we should seek Him, seek His direction, whether it's in the matter of business, whether it's in a matter of finances, of what to do with your money, or whatever, or spiritual needs, of course, most of all, but whatever. Let's look to the Lord. He's the source of all of our blessings. He has all of the answers that we'll ever need to any question that we may have. He may not answer it exactly the way we hope to get the answer, but He'll answer it in a much better way. And we can look to Him and get it from the good source, our Heavenly Father, the loving God that He is.
Amen.
And not consult with the evil one. May the Lord help us. May He bless this message tonight.